Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Get your Rocket Mortgage on, son. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So the Seahawks, of course they won, 30-29, and now 18-2 in prime time since 2010, and 9-1 on Thursday nights. But I got to tell you, you cannot say anything other than a couple issues. The Rams' defense is pathetic. And secondly, Greg Zuerlein absolutely should have to eat soap after that shank. I mean, honestly, dude, he has he kicked 3 of 4 tonight. He made the ones that didn't matter. 3-0, 6-0, 29-24, right? It was 26-24, and he made one. And then the game winner, he walks out there and misses everything. So, I mean, it was close. I don't care how close it is. When you miss, right? It doesn't matter if it's a foot or 5 or 20 feet. He missed, and that's all that matters. And it is absolutely baffling to me how it is surreal how every kick now has become the most laborious thing you've ever seen in your life in the NFL. These guys are absolutely terrible. They are. Every extra point has become a nightmare, and game-winning field goals are non-existent. Are they not like the hardest? It is literally the hardest thing to do in all of football is now kick a field goal. It is the hardest job in sports because no one makes them. Have you ever noticed? Don't even tell me that guy, he's one of the best kickers in the league, right? How does he miss a 43-yarder from dead center? I mean, you knew he was going to miss, right? I mean, we had weather here, right? So whenever it rains here, the TV goes out. So we never even saw it. It was going out, the TV. So I knew that I was going to miss the kick. But all I saw was the fans jumping up and down. So I knew he missed, right? Because the TV was going in and out. And I'm just thinking to myself, it is so unbelievable to me that guy missed. And remember, the spread was 1.5, right? So they beat him 30-29. I covered the spread. But I don't give a rat's ass. When I watch that pathetic team, they are pathetic. I don't care what anybody says. I am standing by everything I say. That team is going nowhere because of that defense. Now, I think Zuerlein's a good kicker, but tonight you suck, dude. Nice miss. You get paid a lot of money, and when it mattered, you couldn't kick a game winner from 43 yards. He does that in his sleep. Let me tell you something. These guys go, I know, they go to practice. They do nothing. They sit there on the sideline and kick field goals for an hour and stand around scratching their onions. They do absolutely nothing. They make millions, and the guy does nothing all day long. He'll hit a few field goals, right? That's his day. And then in the game, when it matters, did you see him miss that? I mean, it's inexplicable to me how these guys miss. I mean, they miss now more than ever that I've ever seen in my life. Listen, do you remember Morton Anderson and like Gary Anderson, the two kickers? Remember the long time? They both kicked forever. Do you remember how long those guys kicked? They never missed those. Just so you know, those guys never missed. I saw Gary Anderson. I showed you the one, right? A 51-yarder in overtime in a wild card game at the Astrodome, right? Did he not nail it? I mean, I'm telling you, these guys kick about 2 of 10 now. You see a guy make a 56-yarder to win a game like Lutz, then you won't see it again for 3 months because all they do is miss. Tell me I'm wrong, Carver High. All they do is miss.
I don't disagree with you.
The extra points they miss.
A field goal kicking in the National Football League has... It's bad. It's really bad.
And then who did the Patriots pick up? Mike Nugent? They might as well have gotten Ted Nugent.
Well, that's the one thing. The Patriots are going to find out what life's like without, you know, one of the 3 or 4 best guys. You know, there's only a couple guys in the league that you can count on.
That you can rely on.
Look, like Tucker in Baltimore. I mean, Tucker in Baltimore, I mean, you know he's making it. I know that.
Do you remember when he missed, though, and everybody almost fell over?
Right, because he never misses. But
now he does.
But not. That's the only one he's missed.
Okay, well, now he'll join the club of losers. None of them can make them. I mean, it's literally none of them. They miss all the time. I'm not even making this stuff up. They miss all the time. These kicks, they have become the most difficult, just It is laborious. I mean, watching them try to make these field goals, it's embarrassing. And you know the one that always works, literally 100% of the time, the freeze, right? The Mr. Freeze, you call timeout right before the guy kicks it. In college or pro, they always miss. Because the guy will make the one that they freeze, right? The guy kicks it anyway, and he makes it, right? And they wave it off, and then they make him kick it again. And then the second one, they always miss, right? Like 110% of the time, they miss. A guy can't kick two of them in a row. He'll miss the second one every time. It's like automatic. When I see it, like in-game betting, that's the bet you need to make from now on. If you can get an in-game bet on it on a second kick at the end of the game, that's the kind of betting I like. George in L.A., you're on CBS Sports Radio. How pathetic is your team, dude?
They're pretty pathetic, brother. At least my Dodgers won. But, yeah, you're right. We got no damn defense. If we don't get a defense going, we have no chance. Goff did play a good game. I mean, you got to give him credit. That was the miracle interception at the end there. But, yeah, our defense sucks.
Yeah, actually, you know, I thought it was a miracle. I'll give you that. I thought it was a miracle interception. But I actually I got to be honest with you. I mean, I didn't think he was bad, okay? I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say he was bad, but, yeah, I didn't think he was that good either, Goff, tonight.
No, I agree, but it's good experience when you go in that place there is so loud and so, you know, it caused all the false starts and the delays at the end of the game.
I mean, I'm not blaming him for anything, all right? But I will say this. The one time when he was about to get sacked in the end zone, he almost threw that pick right there. That was a stupid-ass play. And then I got to tell you, I'm not blaming him for anything. I'm blaming their defense. I'm blaming Wade Phillips. And I'm blaming the players, more so the players. And I'm blaming Zuerlein. Zuerlein, that is an absolute joke field goal. I don't care how loud it is. That's a joke. 43 yards today for a professional field goal kicker that makes millions because they pay him a few mil. I mean, he's got the starting kicker. I guarantee he's making $2 or $3 million, Carver High, right? At least.
They do.
$3 million. The guy can't kick a 43-yarder. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I don't even care if he kicked three of them before that. You know why? Because all those had no pressure. Absolute no pressure. It's easy. In his sleep, he does it. But when the pressure was on, the guy missed it. And that's all there is to it. You suck. You eat soap the whole flight home. Honestly, how bad was that? Like 43 yards from dead center. The guy missed it. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And your defense is deplorable. Let me tell you something. You said it. If they don't figure that out, figure it out. I said the same thing an hour ago. What, are they going to figure it out on Christmas Day? Is someone going to give them a gift of how to play defense? They're not going to figure it out. That defense has a bunch of old, washed-up players on it and veterans. They suck. They can't stop anything. Remember, Tampa put 55 on their ass last week. 55. That's it. And then they give up 30 right on the road to Seattle. Listen, I don't care what you say. 85 points in 2 weeks. They have figured nothing out. Their defense is terrible. Flush. Period. That's it. They will never be good. They're not winning any Super Bowl with that defense. There you go.
You're right.
I am right. They're terrible.
Well, the way I see it, Pharrell, is just going to be a rebuilding program as far as their defense, and maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Go root for the Dodgers, George. And the Lakers. The Rams. The Rams are the Rams, aren't they? Are they not always the Rams? They really are. They end up being the Rams at the end of the day, don't they? Seriously. Steve in Seattle, shake it up, buddy.
Shake it up, Scotty.
What's happening?
Oh, man, what a game. Who needs cardio when you can just watch a game like that? You know, it was just down to the wire, nerve-wracking. I think both defenses had a struggle at times. We gave up a boatload of yards. But, you know, like I said, this Rams team is good offensively. Defensively, they're obviously not as good as last year or the year before. You know, so I'm just happy to sneak away with the win. It was a great Thursday night game, unlike some of them. And, yeah, I'm just happy. But now I'm bummed there's no Seahawks on Sunday.
Well, I'd rather have a win than worry about seeing them play in 3 days, to be honest with you. I got to tell you, Goff threw for 395 yards. It wasn't bad. He went 29 of 49, and he had a pick. And Wilson was more efficient, 17 of 23, a lot tighter, 4 touchdown passes, 268. I thought for sure Without a doubt, Wilson had a better game than Goff. Goff is this high-priced guy. Wilson also $140 million. Wilson played better, without a doubt. Four touchdowns, no picks. That's it. He had a better game. And they won because of Wilson. They won the game because of Wilson. And they won the game because the Rams cannot stop any play at all. They cannot stop the run, and they definitely cannot stop the pass. They're awful. And I said this before. They might as well just trade him. I know that people say I'm insane. No reason to pay Aaron Donald all that money because he's literally playing by himself. He's playing by himself. He is literally by himself rushing the passer, and there's no one else on the defense that makes any plays. So, I mean, rebuild. The guy said rebuild and worry about next year. They have a massive problem on their hands. I got to tell you, take a really good look in the last 2 weeks. There's exactly who you are. That's your team right there, the team that gave up 85 points. And then Seattle, Wilson, as long as that guy's healthy, you could win every single game you play because he's in every game. Every game. You have to deal with him. He's a nightmare. Dealing with him is a nightmare.
Yard game. Boy, he really scared me with that the last touchdown when he bobbled that. I was like, no, oh, my God. You know, it's fourth down. And
yeah, it wasn't. It really wasn't that emotional. It was an easy tip. He caught it. He could have caught it drunk.
I know. But
he batted it in the air 5 feet in the air. Yeah, he could have juggled three balls and still caught it. I didn't think it was hard at all. In fact, he did it like one-handed. It was not hard at all. I think
it was nerve-wracking.
You just thought it was nerve-wracking when you saw it bounce out of his hands.
I thought
the other play was nerve-wracking when he threw the ball back on the third down and he tossed it back like he was playing in the Big Ten again.
It was a stupid play. You do a dive play to Chris Carson and just hope he can get 2 yards.
Right.
You know, you go the most direct route. And they try and, let's go around the end.
Listen, I thought the Rams should have won the game. That's it. The Rams should have won the game. They had it. They moved it right down the field. The guy's got it. What was it, a 43-yarder? And he chunked it. That's it. They should have won the game. I don't care what anybody says. They moved down the field. No problem. They set up a game-winning chip shot. That's a chip shot. Isn't the extra point 33 yards? This was 10 yards more. It's a joke. 43 yards. Do you understand their accuracy? An NFL kicker between 40 and 50 yards is outrageous. These guys nail 95% of their kicks. And then you go to 50 and on, and then it gets sketchy, right? But from 30 to 50, these guys are lethal. But on extra points now and game-winning field goals, the league has a real problem. It might have been the best thing they ever did to the league, I got to tell you, they're moving it back, because it has changed the game dynamically. The game has changed dynamically now because every single game, name the last game you've watched in the NFL, seriously, Carver High, that you haven't seen a missed field goal or extra point. Name a game you haven't seen one.
It's very rare.
It's just automatic. Every single game you see these guys butchering extra points and field goals. That's all there is to it. It has become a monstrosity trying to kick a field goal in the NFL. It's embarrassing. It really is. It's laughable. You know, in my opinion, if you want to get rich quick, learn how to kick field goals and be deadly accurate. They should really, you know, remember a month ago there, the fascination was get Carly Lloyd a job kicking or whatever. Wasn't that who it was? And she was kicking 55-yarders. She should try out for a team because she can kick dead center 55-yarders. I don't care if they're soccer balls and footballs. I don't care if she's kicking garbage cans. She makes them, and these guys suck. I mean, the guys in the NFL, literally, the ones I'm watching, they all suck. I mean, they're terrible. There isn't a guy in the league that I trust. Not one. Literally not one. Including Zuerlein or Lutz, any of them. They all suck, and that's all there is to it. Watching them kick now is laughable. It is.
Right, that's why you're talking guys like Vinatieri just staying at, 45. That's why you're bringing back guys like Matt Bryan in Atlanta after you've already cut him, and he's been on the road to retirement.
Because he kicks him through.
Because there's so much, their accuracy still at that age is better than these 23-year-olds somehow.
Because they can kick between 30 and 50 yards deadly. And then you go out 55, 60, they can't do it. These guys like Lutz, they'll kick 156, 58-yarder the whole year, right? Those are very hard to kick. But I thought they should be embarrassed tonight, the Rams, by that defense and by that that game-winning field goal. The whole thing was so – it's laughable how embarrassing they look.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the Bench. Just so you know, the Dodgers won. Then tomorrow night they play him again at Chavez Ravine, and Kershaw's pitching. Nothing like seeing Bueller and Kershaw back-to-back, right? Or how about Verlander and Cole, then Grinke? So tomorrow you got Rays Astros. That's at 2:05 Eastern on FS1. Then at 4:37 on TBS, Braves Cardinals. Carver, how do you think the Cardinals will do it again with Flaherty and go up two and be done with it? That had to suck the life out of the Braves tonight.
I really don't want to see the Cardinals win. You know I hate the Cardinals.
I know you hate them, but
This is like you said, this is going to be typical Cardinal here. They're going to go take the first two games in Atlanta and then split at home and go on to the NLCS. You can just
smell
it. The writing's just on the wall. That winning tonight.
It is beyond me. I cannot say it enough that this team, over the course of my lifetime, in the history of my lifetime, all they do is win. Whenever they get in the postseason, they win. I mean, it is crazy what they do in the postseason. They are an absolute winner franchise. When you think of the great franchises in, you know, in baseball history, you absolutely, unequivocally have to put the St. Louis Cardinals in there. I mean, you have to, right? I mean, you talk about the Cubs and all this nonsense. They waited 108 years. They can't even hold a candle to the Cardinals. They can't. The rivalry. There is no rivalry. 11-1, right, in championships? Isn't it something like that? So every time they go, they do damage. It's surreal watching it. It's just like, and I knew it. How many times did I tell you? Did I not say this going into it? Like, did I not talk to Dale Murphy last night? I said, you better be careful. This team, all they do is win in the playoffs, the Cardinals. That's all they do. And didn't I say to you many times, Carver, we had this conversation. I'm like, the Cardinals are going to go. They're going to go. They're going to end up facing the Dodgers.
It's always the years that you don't expect it, and suddenly they're
Do you remember,
there.
Like, and the Giants? Do you remember they'd get in there and win it?
Yeah, well, that was, 2010, 2012, 2014.
But I remember, the Cardinal teams with, Jack Clark and all those guys. I mean, do you remember? They were always good. That's all I know. Always, always good. And then the Twins-Yankees is at 7:07 Eastern in the Boogie Down Bronx. Berríos against Paxton. You heard him. 2-13, is that what their record is in the playoffs against the Yankees? And then Nationals-Dodgers is Strasburg-Kershaw. That's a great matchup there. I got to tell you, Kershaw's unbelievable, but so is Strasburg, right? Would you give Strasburg a good shot in that game?
Well, what worries me about Strasburg is that he had to pitch in the game on
Tuesday night.
So that, did he throw a ton? I forget how many pitches he threw in that game against the Brewers the other night, but he just threw the ball. So that could be a factor. I think that the Nats had to win tonight. Corbin had outstanding numbers against the Dodgers. I thought that this was the game that the Nats had to win here tonight.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And but they got...
I don't like that matchup for them. I don't like Strasburg pitching again that soon.
But once again, they got their ass beat because the Dodgers' bats are so sickening, right? And didn't no names do it? Lux and these guys hitting home runs. I mean, at the end of the night, right? So their first run was Muncy walk. Pollock scored. And then in the fifth, Bellinger scored on an error by first baseman Kendrick. Muncy safe at first on an error by Kendrick. Taylor to second, blah, blah. It's 2-0. And then Muncy single to right. Peterson scored and Turner scored. Taylor to third. Then in the eighth, Lux homered. Then Peterson homered. I mean, 6-0. They destroyed him. And then Buehler, his numbers, 6 innings, no runs, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. How impressive was that? 100 pitches, 62 strikes. But going back to that Cardinal thing, the Braves, you're down 7-3 in the ninth. You give up 4 runs into the ninth. Then you hit a 2-run homer. Then you hit a solo homer, right? Everybody's getting all crazy and fired up, and then you still lose. Because when Mafia told me, he goes, they just hit back-to-back or, hit 2 home runs, and I'm like, but they're still going to lose. They're not going to score 4 runs. And then the next thing you know, they lost 7-6. So they got everybody all worked up and lathered up. Freeman hit the second one, right? And then, but that was it. It was too late. Game over. So, and caught looking to end the game. Marquez is standing there just picking his nose. I mean, honestly, dude. And then look at the fans. They just want to get some blow. They want to go home. They're done. because I'm telling you, that team is lethal. 14 hits, two errors, they still win. And they were down 3-1. They never lose in the postseason, ever. And that's why Carver I hates them. I used to have a roommate, this guy in college, that was the biggest Cardinal fan that I've ever known in my life. This femme, he used to walk around in his little Cardinal underwear around the room, you know, in the apartment. He'd wear everything, Cardinal underwear, Cardinal pajamas. He wore Cardinal shirts, Cardinal hat. He never stopped. Right now, he's probably going to text me overnight and drop a few bombs on me because he knows how much I hate him, too.
Like, honestly, I have legitimately no reason to, like, hate the Cardinals. Like, they've never, in my lifetime.
No reason to bother you.
In my lifetime, they've never played the Yankees in a World Series, anything like that.
So why do you hate them?
I just, for whatever reason, I can't stand that they always are in the mix. You know what it kind of really stems from? I think that I got bothered in 2004 when the Yankees lost, you know, up 3-0 to the Red Sox, and then the Red Sox went to the World Series,
right.
And the Cardinals, like, didn't even show up in
right.
that series. I
so
think
you blamed
that
them.
Bothered me that year.
So that's
and
the
then,
reason.
Like, they ended up winning these World Series. Like, remember the year the Mets played the Cardinals, and then the Tigers are sitting there in the World Series. Like, every Met fan knows they should have won the World Series that year. But the freaking Cardinals just swoop in and beat the Tigers in the World Series. They're always in the right place at the right,
right
time every postseason, and I can't stand them.
Is it?
Like, I never play them. I never
right?
do.
Is it 11 World Championships?
Whatever it is.
It is.
Knows?
It's like 11 or 12, something like that.
They're always in the right. Every year, it's like the perfect thing happens to them. Like, you watch. Like this year, they'll end up beating the Braves, and like something zany will happen, and the Dodgers will lose to the Nationals, and the Cardinals will be sitting there with home field advantage over
right.
the Nationals.
Or
like always
about,
works
how about
out for them.
Cardinals beat the Dodgers,
right? Like, well,
right
like,
on their,
that would be
right on their field,
right?
I put nothing past them.
It never ends.
It never ends, and it started tonight with a win, 7-6. They're down 3-1, and in the ninth inning, they score 4 runs. You got to be kidding me.
They had that Tony La Russa for so long sitting in the
Whitey
dugout.
Herzog.
Can't stand him either.
I'm friends with Tony. He saves dogs' lives. He's a great human being. People love him everywhere. Except that night he got that Dewey.
It definitely stems from the 2004 World Series.
Wasn't he in Jupiter? That place is bad luck, man. That's where all those rich people go to golf and get DUIs. Or go to massage parlors late at night. Or in broad daylight. Did he get popped in broad daylight coming out of there?
He fell asleep at the wheel at a red light.
Oh, La Russa.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about
Kraft.
Kraft,
yeah.
Kraft, a daylight massage,
yeah,
right? He
yeah.
went in for the finishing touch.
Yeah, he went in right before he flew to Kansas City for the game. It was like a morning session, wasn't it?
Well, I hope so, because they won the game. I think everyone should go to the old rub down, if you know what I'm saying, before the game. I'll tell you a guy that needed a rub down tonight was Greg Zuerlein.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, don't forget, PharrellOnTheBench.com. I keep raking for you. Hit the Rams 1.5 tonight with the spread. College football pro picks, there's no place better. How about through the first 4 weeks of the NFL season? 79%, 77%, 62%, then 71%. And back-to-back 64% weeks in college football, including last week hitting my top 5 ranked plays, 7 of my top 8, 8 of my top 10. There's nothing better. Hockey's back. We got all those picks. Boxing, MMA, baseball through the World Series. PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's F-E-R-R-A-L-L. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife, because you're going to be making plenty. So a couple things that were interesting. The Mets fired Mickey Callaway today, finally, after, you know, heavy speculation that that was going to happen. And I guess the question becomes, you know, who's going to replace him immediately, right? That's the first thing everybody says, who's going to get the job? Now, I have seen all these lists of people, like these endless lists. They're embarrassing. One of them I saw, CBS has David Wright as a candidate for the job. Like, who wrote that? Who thought that one up? Like, honestly, they pay some guy to come up with that?
Some caller who called the fan today probably thought that up.
I mean, honest to God, David Wright. You know how that would turn out? I mean, just horribly. Just trust me. That guy has zero managing skill, zero ability to be a manager. I mean, why? The guy's never managed a day in his life. And you're going to tell me, like, teams are doing this nonsense now, these guys that have never done it. It doesn't work. It just does not work. And I'll tell you what, these famous players, you know what happens to them? They lose their reputations. That's what happens to them. Like some player, like David Wright, everybody loves him. Let him manage the Mets for 4 years. They'll hate his guts. By the time they're done with him, they'll boo him and boo him out of town.
Speaking of famous players and your reputation and, you know, the Mets, another one I saw was Carlos Beltran. The last memory any Met fan has of that guy is him just watching the curveball go over the plate against the Cardinals in the playoffs. And you think they're going to welcome this guy back to be the manager of the team?
Right now, he's the number two candidate for the job. Then for number one, can you believe Brad Ausmus? Jesus, what a disaster he's been as a manager. Send his ass back to the front office.
He's had two jobs already.
And he's terrible at both of them.
How do you get another crack?
He should be in the front office. Stop with all this other stuff. He's terrible. How about this one? Joe Espada, the Astros bench coach.
There you go. That's who's going to get the job. Some bench coach for another team that they don't have to pay any money to. You just nailed it. What's his name there?
Joe Espada.
Get ready for him on the dais a month from now over in Queens.
Bob Guerin, Dodgers bench coach. John Gibbons, please, Jesus. Are you kidding me? They're going to bring him out of the retirement circuit?
You know what? They wouldn't have to pay him much either. So, yeah, you could put him up there.
He
also
made a lot of money up in Toronto.
That's why he'll take less to get back in the league.
Joe Girardi.
That's who they should hire.
Joe Madden.
They ain't going to pay him.
Luis Rojas, their quality control coach. You know what that
means?
You know
what? That's an even. That's
right.
A good one, too.
In Portuguese, that means he's the guy that they can order around like a puppet. Luis Rojas. They'll make him the manager and order him around. He's already the quality control coach, so they'll have control of him. How about this one? Buck Showalter. Jesus. I mean, this is like hash browns, man. They're just going to keep frying them. Bring him back. Wasn't he finally done? How about the one I heard the other day that Bochy retired and he's going to go back to San Diego? I mean, can anyone just retire and go and honestly go to Hawaii and smoke some fatties and just stay on the beach? Do it. Remember Don Nelson? Didn't he go there to Hawaii and he became a complete hippie? Remember the coach, the basketball coach? He's living out there, loving life. David Wright, Mets special advisor. I'm going to puke. If they give that job to David Wright, they should fold the franchise. I mean to tell you. Can you imagine? Mavi, that's your team. How embarrassing is that? Seriously. You can't possibly want David Wright as your manager. I mean, the guy, didn't we just wash our hands of him with all the teary eyes and crying when he retired? Oh, my God.
You know what? That's the way we're going right now. He's saying all these guys is basically they want to – the Mets especially.
He'll do worse than Callaway.
He will. But the problem is we've talked about how New York, they want a big name. But at the same time, all these guys now want someone they can control. So the solution for them is a big-name player who doesn't have that experience, who hasn't done this before, where he could say, you know what, I might not know what I'm doing. Let me get some information from these guys, some help. And the next thing you know, they're running the team the way they want. These guys are just puppets.
I think they should hire Girardi, flat out, plain and simple. And I think they should, because wasn't he making like $6 million with the Yankees? Something like that? Did he make that kind of money, Carver High? Do you remember how much money he made with the Yankees?
Probably around $5 million.
Okay, so he should work for about $3 million because he doesn't matter anymore. Okay, it's all in his head that he matters, right? Because he managed the Yankees for so long, it almost, do you think it like hurt him? Because no one's ever even sniffed him since he left the Yankees.
I don't know. I mean, for all we know, if teams could have, and either his demands were too high or he is waiting for the right situation. I mean, there was a couple jobs open last year. I mean, who would want some of those jobs?
Life's
going
to pass him by.
Well, you know what? Look, he's got a World Series. He managed in New York for 10 years. Maybe, unless the situation is great, he's got money. You know, maybe he likes doing the MLB Network thing.
There's no
and
way.
Doing that, and all that
there's,
stuff.
There's no way that he likes
yeah,
doing
but
that.
Do you remember when he, the last two or three
he's
years?
He's already said he wants to manage.
But do you remember the last year or so he was the Yankee manager and how he looked after every game?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy looked just like he was just stressed
shot,
out.
Shot.
I mean, It's been a couple years. Probably feels a bit, little bit better. If
you
I was
don't
the
think
Mets,
he could
I would
handle the Mets job.
Well, he's managed in New York, of course.
No
but
problem.
It's different though. Yankees and Mets are different.
Well, yeah, because the Mets are losers.
Right. Well, you know.
Well, they are.
But I just don't see the Mets shelling out what he's going to want.
I think they, you know what, they got those owners, that Wilpon, they're so cheesy. Just stop with all your BS. Everybody knows you're billionaires. Just give them the money. Give them, what were they paying this other guy, $1 million? Give Girardi $3 million and be done with it. Right? You absolutely cannot give us Joe Espada or Luis Rojas. I swear to God, what reason on the face of the earth would you want to go see that baseball team if that was your manager? I mean, yeah, I know it doesn't matter who the manager is. Like, as you're a fan, you're sitting there drinking beer, having a hot dog and a box of popcorn. But I honestly, wasn't Mickey Callaway enough to realize that the no-name hack managers they put in there, that you can't have it? Is that not enough of a lesson for you that you don't know what you're doing? Get someone in here that knows what he's doing. For God's sakes, it has to be Girardi. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I guess I'd be willing to listen to the idea of Carlos Beltran as a high risk hire as a manager. I'd be willing to possibly discuss that deal if he was willing to, you know, sit down and go into that $2 to $3 million window. Nothing. He's worth nothing more. The guy's never done it, so I don't want to hear. He should make $1 million too. A guy that's never done it doesn't deserve $3-4 million. That's all there is to it. There's no team in baseball anymore that wants to pay some manager a ton of money. It's proof in the pudding right now. They're doing it as we speak, right? And I think Madden's going to the Angels, and I think all those other jobs are wide open. I don't think Girardi wants the Padre job. I don't think he, you know. We've already talked about all these jobs, right? The Giants job, the Padre job, the Royals job, the Cubs, the Pirates, the Angels, and the Mets. The Pirate jobs, it's quicksand. That's what that is. You go to Pittsburgh to be the manager. John Wehner, they've been talking about. He used to play for the Pirates. That he wants the job. And he's, like, on the list of people that they're talking about, like, in Pittsburgh. I have seen, literally, he's not even on the list, but I've heard people in Pittsburgh talking about John Wehner. Let him be the manager. I mean, you know, I got no problem with John Wehner, but for God's sakes, they might as well have just kept Clint Hurdle. Honestly, like, what's the point of firing a guy that he has no chance to win at all? And don't tell me they have a chance to win either, because the Tampa Bay Rays win with no money. The bottom line is the Tampa Bay Rays have way better players than the Pirates. That's it, right? I mean, and the Pirates have given away every great player they have. Every great pitcher, every great position player. It doesn't matter who they are. They don't stay in Pittsburgh longer than you can't even get a suntan. They're gone, right? So I don't want to hear it. The next guy to go will be Bell, right? And then you know what amazes me is the Cole and Glasnow and all these guys. And then the guy that, you know, that we end up getting is Jameson Taillon. And what happens to him? His arm falls off, right? Can you imagine the one guy that they keep, his arm falls off? Seriously, if they didn't have luck, they shouldn't even have a casino down the street from the ballpark because of the bad luck they got. Because if you go down into that casino, you're just getting some of their rub off, the runoff, like the water runoff. They got bad luck runoff coming out of PNC. Don't even tell me I'm wrong either. I've been a Pirate fan my whole life. I love them. So I'm allowed to tell you that my team sucks, okay? And I'm real good at it. John Wehner. Jesus. What's he doing? Where'd they find him? In the woods? Honestly, no offense. I don't know the guy from Adam, but no offense. But honestly, when I saw that, the first thing I went, the first thing I did. I mean, honestly, do you remember when I said I was joking, but now I'm not. I wanted the Padre manager's job. Now I want the Pirate manager job. I'm in the running, Carver High. Send my resume over to the Nuttings. Send it over to, what's the guy's name, Huntington Learning Centers?
Hometown boy comes home and does good. The big, you know, come on.
Why not? What's the difference? If John Wehner can do it, don't tell me I can't. He sucked as a player anyway.
No, with him being the lead candidate for that position, it should open it up to a lot more names.
I mean, honestly, Honestly, the guy, the owner of Permane Brothers should be the manager of the Pirates because he's more popular. The guy that makes the sandwiches.
He's more popular than anybody in the organization.
I mean, honestly. Seriously, I mean, couldn't they get, like, what about Franco Harris or Rocky Blyer? They're sitting around. They're retired. Maybe, do they do baseball on the side? I mean, Franco could do it. He's still in decent shape for an old guy. Let him manage him. Bring back Barry Bonds. Oh, they'd have great juice connections. I mean, everybody get just the cream and clear. We'd be good to go. Jesus. I mean, honestly, Joe Espada and Luis Rojas. I have seen it all. 855-212-4CBS is for all the bets. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.